Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tuesday afternoon, but you know, really, this is kind of like a Thursday because we're going to treat tomorrow, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, like it's a Friday, like it's the beginning of a long weekend, because it is, and a lot of kids are out of school all week long, and a lot of people are already traveling, and it's a Thanksgiving holiday weekend coming up, but a lot of people take the entire week off. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. I tell you, if I could start my show every day seeing Helena Moreno right before I see the show and getting a hug from her right before the show, that would be so nice. I just got a hug from her. She was leaving the studio with Joe Geruso. They were on with Newell Norman in the last hour. And I don't know about you, but I feel so good about our city. It's going to be tough. There are going to be some tough times. And some people are going to, unfortunately, lose their jobs because, well, the city just can't pay everybody. And I think the more we see from Helena Moreno, the more we're going to realize just how bad LaToya Cantrell was. It's going to be such a contrast. And LaToya Cantrell is such an egomaniac that I don't know why she did this to herself, because history is going to show her as a terrible mayor. She could have her sycophants around her, and she could have the people in her neighborhood who pat her on the back and say, nothing was your fault. She brought everything on herself. And she created the image that she is going to leave office with. And she's under federal indictment, too. And we'll have a lot to talk about that concerning that next year when she goes to court. And we'll see what happens with all of that. Does Officer Vapi offer himself as a witness against her? I mean, we don't know. But I'll tell you, she really screwed up our city. And she spent money that did not need to be spent. She was selfish. She was arrogant. And she is out of here. So that's great news. But yeah, if I could start every show with a hug from Helena Moreno, I would be really, really happy. I mean, I got a nice handshake from Geruso. Councilman Geruso. You know, sometimes I run into him at the gym. I don't even want to mention the name of the gym, but just because I don't want to, you know, just because it's a private thing, you know, eco workout, that's kind of a private thing. But anyway, it's a nice gym at Lakefront and in Lakeview, and sometimes I see him there, and we don't really bother each other, but you know, we probably should have said hi to each other, but. You know, when I go to the gym, I haven't been in a while, honestly. I mean, I've been a real slacker. There's just a lot of things that have come up in my life. And, you know, you get distracted sometimes. And boy, this is not the best time of year to start thinking about getting in shape, because this is the time of year that you start thinking about, well, you know, I'm going to kind of let things slide. Well, I've let things slide way, way too long, so I got to get back. I got to get back to it. All right, we have a lot to cover today. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is urging Americans to dress better when traveling on planes. Would it be better if people dressed better? Would better dress codes stop the trend of aggressive behavior when flying? You know, there was a time growing up, you know, I remember we took a couple of trips on planes, and my parents dressed me and my brother up in coats and ties. And my sister had on a nice dress. We actually dressed up to go on a plane. I mean, that's how old I am. I mean, now, have you seen some of the people in first class? I mean, it looks like an unemployment line. I mean, it's not what it used to be. I mean, flying's not what it first class isn't even what it used to be. You know, you used to be in this exclusive group of people. Look, I mean, I know there have been times that I've been in first class, and I know people look at me like, well, what the hell are you doing here? Anyway, would you ever consider, like, maybe looking a little nicer when you fly? And I can't stand in the summertime when I'm sitting next to somebody who's, like, well, not a female. I know this is very sexist, but I have to say it. If it's a female, I don't mind, because women are generally cleaner and neater than men. But sitting next to some burly, hairy guy with a tank top on, big, burly, hairy underarms, you know, sandals, hideous feet. Anyway, flying's not what it used to be. So I think that's a good idea. I agree with the Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. Yeah, it'd be nice if people dressed up a little more. And I think it would really add to the atmosphere of flying. And I think it would be a little better. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think the airlines are going to impose any kind of dress code. But maybe that would be nice. Also, young drinkers, especially millennials and Gen Z, they're drinking less. It's impacting the beverage industry. Instead of cocktails, many young drinkers are choosing mocktails. Same drink, but non-alcoholic. Do you drink over the holidays? Do you think you drink for fun, or do you drink to deal with the stress of getting together for the holidays? We'll get into that this afternoon as well. Monday Night Football last night. Monday Night Football, the 49ers beat the Panthers. And there was a little problem at the end of the game. You know, right when everybody's shaking hands, you can see video of this, but yeah, there was a little confrontation between two of the players. It must have been something that had been going on during the game, and it sort of flared up at the end of the game. But 49ers beat the Panthers. And when you look at our division, you know, the Bucs lost again this weekend. I'm telling you, even in a rebuilding year, if the Saints had won three, if the Saints had won three of the games that they almost won, you know, we might even be in the playoff picture in our division. We wouldn't win the Super Bowl, but our division is not that great right now. And with the Panthers losing, and then the Falcons, they were predicted by many to win the division. They're not doing so well, except against us. And the Bucs are losing. So if the Saints would have won, say, three of those games that we could have won, I mean, we would like be in the hunt in our division. So it just goes to show you that even in a rebuilding year, you can do well. As I said yesterday, after the loss to the Falcons, I'm just disappointed in the lack of progress and the up and down. And even at this point in the season, there should be more progress, in my opinion. The Saints did it. They got rid of Blake Groupe, and they needed to. I mean, he was too much of a liability. He wasn't consistent. So they've hired Cade York. He was the LSU Tigers place kicker during the 2019 championship year. And I think he was with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think he was the third number three kicker. They had three kickers on their roster. Anyway, we have a new kicker. And look, the guy's not going to be perfect, because he's human. And Cade York might miss some kicks. How many, though? You know, he got to the point where Group A was just not consistent enough, and he became too much of a liability. I mean, you got to make those kicks, and if you don't, then somebody else is going to make them. I guess the question is, what does Blake Group A do now? I mean, if you're a place kicker in the NFL and you lose your job, what do you do? I mean, do you think another team is going to pick him up? I wouldn't think so. But, I mean, maybe. But if another team doesn't pick him up, I mean, what do you do if you're a place kicker and then you're, like, on the job market? I mean, is there a specific job that a kicker might do? I don't know. We can talk about this. If you can think of some job that you think would be good for a place kicker in the NFL who doesn't make it in the NFL, what could they do after that? All right, let's see. What else? We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. There's a lot of talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene just distancing herself from Trump and a lot of disagreements with the president. And her district is really shocked that she's had these problems with the president. And her district that voted for her is really shocked that she's saying things that are not congruent with the Republican message. But there is a warning from Kevin McCarthy that Marjorie Taylor Greene is not going to be the first or the, well, she's the first, but she's not going to be the last who's going to be talking now about quitting. You know, she's resigning in January, but she may be wanting to run for president. I don't know who's advising her. I don't think she's a legitimate presidential candidate. But she has been a diehard supporter of the president. And now she's disagreeing with the president. The president is firing back. So there are rumbles within the Republican Party. And these rumbles are basically the result of many Republicans now sort of rejecting the message, all the messages of the president and not agreeing with everything the president says. And it seems to me that if you're a true Republican, if you're a true conservative, you would have to question many of the president's decisions. You would have to. So anyway, I think that's an interesting thing that's going on. Tucker Carlson, while I really don't give him much credit, he's talking about how he hates the Republican Party. He hates them. So, you know, there's a lot going on. There is a new strain of flu that's going around. And I'm starting to think about some of the things that I did during the pandemic. Is it time to start doing some of those things? You know, we were pretty well trained to do certain things during the pandemic. And we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. And let's see. Also, the president says that Biden's auto-pen turkey pardons are invalid. You know, every year the president pardons turkeys. And he says that Biden's auto-pen turkey pardons are invalid. Yeah, that's a big controversy. I think the president was just kind of joking about that. And he was also joking about how he was going to name the turkeys that he's pardoning this year. He was going to name the pardoned turkeys Chuck and Nancy for Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. And I would think that if the turkeys were named Chuck and Nancy, he wouldn't pardon them. He'd go ahead and chop their heads off. All right. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about this afternoon, kind of a relaxed afternoon, it's time for a cool front to come through here. And it's going to really get cooler by tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. And it's Thanksgiving week. And so things are a little bit more relaxed. But if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you too as well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Good. There's a text here that says, is your turkey going to be shirtless this year?
Well, you know, I don't know.
What?
You know, I traditionally cut the skin off the turkey to make it and the juice less fattening. If I do a turkey, I did this last year. I cut off all of the fat, but I left the skin on, and I just didn't eat the skin, but I left the skin on to cook the turkey. But there is so much fat you can cut off of that turkey. It's the yellow stuff. It's the light yellow stuff, and just cut that off, and it makes the gravy the juice from the turkey so much less fattening. It makes the turkey itself less fattening. And, you know, the skin has calories and fat grams in it, so I don't eat that, and I'm known for cutting the skin off the turkeys. You know, for some reason, I'm not overly inspired to do a turkey this year. I'm going to decide tonight whether to get a turkey. But if I do it, I'll probably cut the skin off like I do.
Well, I've seen you do this a lot of times, many years in the past. You know, you watch the video of Scoot cutting the skin off his turkey and has a delicious skinless turkey. Well, I'm a bit inspired. I'm going to do something in the same vein this year.
Okay, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to cut off the turkey and just cook the skin.
Okay. Let me know how that turned out.
Yeah, I'll bring some for it. I'll give you some leftovers.
You could roll up some of the stuffing in the dressing. You could roll that up in the skin and
make a little
smoke it.
Skin blunt, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah, but but I love. I like turkey. It's nice. Hey, did I tell you? I mean, this is so obnoxious. I might take it back because it's too big. Because my apartment's not that big. And let's say when I'm on my sofa, I'm probably 10, 12 feet away from the TV.
Okay.
My TV went out. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm watching TV the other night. It just went black. It totally went out.
Wow.
So I needed a new TV. I bought a 75-inch TV.
Brother.
And oh my God, I didn't know it was going to be that big.
No,
in my
75 inches is huge, man.
I mean, it's I feel like TV. I'm sitting in a movie theater.
Wow.
It's gigantic, but I'll tell you, watching the game last night was really cool.
I was going to say, it kind of depends on what you're watching on there. I mean, if you're just watching Love Actually 10 times in a row, you know, you're not really getting the best use out of that TV, but you know, you won't watch football.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the scenes are going to be, you know, more spectacular. First of all, you know, I had one of the early, I guess it was one of the earlier HD TVs because it was at least 10 years old. HD has improved so much that I'm seeing moles. I'm seeing I'm seeing skin conditions on people that you never saw before. You know, so it's almost like, whoa, I didn't know that person had a mole.
That strong. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm seeing stuff that I never saw before. I mean, if I were a dermatologist, I could diagnose if somebody's got a skin condition. The HD is so great, especially when you're streaming. But I don't know, man. I think this TV might be a little large. I'm going to try it out through Thanksgiving and then decide whether or not I'm going to take it back and get a 65-inch.
I can't imagine going to the trouble to get that mounted only to then have to get it unmounted and repackaged and sent back to the store. I mean, is that really worth all the trouble?
Mounted? You think I mounted the TV on the wall?
I don't know your life.
No. No, it comes with, I mean, there's a little stand. It's on a stand on the...
Oh, you know, I thought your TV was mounted on the wall.
No, I'm not that advanced.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I just put it there. But I can't close the trunk of my vehicle. I can't close the back door of my vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to leave it open, and it's the TV sticking out of the end while I'm trying to get it home because it was too big for the... I think that's God's way of telling you the TV's too big.
Yeah, this TV might be too big, especially in your nice new big car. That's crazy.
Well, it's relative. It's not a big, but it's bigger than what I had.
It's bigger than what you used to drive.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to some text and to some of your calls. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So I feel good about the Saints' new place kicker. Do you? I also applaud the Saints for not dwelling on this problem. Sometimes I don't know that they move as quickly as they should. They moved on this. It was something they had to do, and they did it. And by the way, let me mention that that Zion scored like 29 points, I think, and the Pelicans beat the Bulls last night, 143-130. So... that was awesome. It's awesome. Maybe this is going to be the beginning of a new streak. But if Zion, you know, maybe he's just, you know, starting to get back to his playing mode, because when you're injured and you're off the court for a while, you know, it takes a little while, I guess, to get game ready, and you can't get game ready unless you're in the game. So maybe this is a new beginning. All right, so we're going to continue to do some Thanksgiving songs today, with Thanksgiving just being a couple of days away. And if you have a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260 1-870. And happy Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, I am ready for this this warm weather to go somewhere. I'm ready for the cooler weather because it's that time of year, and it's just it's humid. A really sad story in the news, and I know you've heard this. A 14-year-old girl in Denham Springs has been arrested, and she faced charges of first-degree murder for allegedly giving birth to a daughter in her home and then hiding it in a tote bag. She ultimately, you know, killed the baby trying to hide it. Please understand that people need to be punished. But here's what I find really sad about this. This 14-year-old girl was probably raped. I'm sure it wasn't her idea. I could be wrong. I'm just speculating. But these are just the initial feelings that I have. And look, it could totally be the other way around. And I'm not that soft when it comes to things like this that people do wrong. But, you know, this 14-year-old girl could have been raped, or she could have been coerced into having sex. She didn't know what was going on. And somebody was just selfish and didn't even protect themselves. And so the girl got pregnant. And I don't. Maybe she didn't even have any parental guidance, and she just didn't know what to do. Gives birth to the child and then puts it in a tote bag because she's scared. And again, I don't like excusing her. I don't like making an excuse for her. But I can't help but think about how some people are just so young that they're not even prepared to deal with things like, you know, having a baby. I mean, she had to know she was pregnant, right? I mean, 14 years old, that's really young. And I just don't know how much say-so she had over having sex in the first place. And where are the parents? You know, what's going on with the parents? It seems like they should be accountable, too. And what about the guy who did this to her? You know, this is just a reminder that men can impregnate females and walk away and never be part of it. It's easy for them. And so, you know, if you have daughters, I mean, you got to remind them of that. The guy doesn't have to hang around. If you have daughters, you got to talk to them about this, because some guy could impregnate your daughter and walk away. So I think there's some sad things about this. Of course, she needs to be held accountable, but it seems like the parents should be involved in this too. And you know, if you listen to this show, you know I'm not a prude. But honestly, and I don't mean to be judgmental here, but I think 14 is a little young to have sex. And it's not that I'm jealous that, you know, I didn't have sex for the first time till I was 18 because I was such a nerd. And so insecure and shy. I'm not jealous, but I wonder how old the guy was. I mean, maybe the boy was 15, 16, 17. Maybe he was 30. I mean, we don't know. I mean, I don't see that. I don't have that in the information that's in front of me. But I think 14 is too young to have sex. And I don't mean to be judgmental here, but that's too young. 16, 17, you know, more understandable. Still really, really young, but more understandable. But I think 14 is just too young. The National Guard is in town. National Guard being deployed for the Bayou Classic, just to add some added security to the area. And it's Bayou Classic Week. And I will tell you, if you can avoid downtown New Orleans, do it, because there are so many people who drive in for Bayou Classic that traffic is a mess. Canal and Poydras and side streets are just jam-packed with cars. Many of them are really cool cars. And I'll tell you what else. People dress when they come to the Bayou Classic. You can see some fine-dressed people. But if you can avoid coming downtown with your car, do it, because traffic is just a mess. All right, let's go to Ian and check in with some of your early text messages.
Here's a text message that says, "Scoot, if you watched Monday Night Football last night, The DB punched Jennings in the nads during the game. They showed it several times in slow motion, and after the game, that's when Jennings went after him.
Okay, I must have left the room. You know, I mean, sometimes you know you got to go. I had to leave the room a couple of times, so I didn't watch every play. So I did miss that, and you know, players do that. I mean, they administer cheap shots during games, and you know, you can't blame somebody for wanting to go after somebody. But you know, when everybody's shaking hands and then somebody's like, you know, sort of pushing or accosting somebody physically, that's going to stand out and you're going to get caught.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, come on, man. If you cook the turkey with the skin and the fat, most of the fat renders down, and it mixes with the other juices that come out while baking. And that's where the flavor is, in the pan juices.
You're
supposed to use some of the pan juices to make a gravy. Eating a little fat once or twice a year won't kill you. I like to slice some meat off the breast and dip each slice into the pan juices. The gravy goes over the cornbread dressing. As Freddie Mercury said, who wants to live forever?
Okay, look, I realize that I eat some things. It doesn't make sense because I cut the skin off the turkey. I do other things to cut down on fat. But overall, I try to be conscious when it comes to my eating. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It also means that there are times when I'm a little hypocritical, but I get great juice from my turkey. I do. I mix it. I'll tell you, here's a little secret that I do, and I like this. I splash some beef broth on the turkey. Not chicken broth, beef broth, because to me, that just gives the turkey a little bit of a slightly different, maybe a little more robust flavor. So I like to do beef broth with the turkey and with whatever seasonings that you want to add. Add beef broth and see if you like that. But I get great juice from the turkey because I can't get off all of the fat. So all I know is that my juice, when I put it in the refrigerator, the juice that comes from the gravy, it doesn't have this like thick congealed fat that's on top, and so it's just less fattening. It's one of the things that I choose to do.
If we're looking for a new job for Blake Groupie, here's a text that says Groupie could host this show. LOL.
Yeah, listen, you think I'm far to the left? Well, he might be a little far to the right, if you know what I mean. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Also, porch piracy is expected again during the holidays. Did you know that 1 in 7 adults are the victim of porch piracy? In other words, people see a package on your porch and they run up and steal it. They steal the package. They have no idea what's in it, but they steal the package. I just think that's pretty low. You know, I mean, even if you're trying to get a gift for your family, I don't know. I think that's really low. You know, we should have enough respect for each other that if a package is there, we know it's not ours. You just leave the package there. Oh, listen, I want to mention this also, and I'll do this when we come back after the break. I told you I went to NostalgiaCon. It's one of those Comic-Con, NostalgiaCon, one of those conventions at the convention center over the weekend. There was an area where there were stacks and stacks of mystery boxes. This is a new trend. There's a pop store in the mall, one of the big malls in Portland. And it was my granddaughter's birthday the last time I was there, a couple of weeks, a month or so ago. And so she went to the store, and these kids are buying things, and they don't actually know what's in the box. You might get this, you might get that. You might get this color, you might get... You don't know exactly what you're buying, but these kids love it. We'll talk about that when we come back. What's the deal with mystery boxes? All right, so Thanksgiving coming up Thursday. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Thanksgiving Day is not a good day for the turkey because we're munching down on the grundage of the turkey. So, yeah, not a good day for the turkey. Song is called Amen, something that many of you will say at the end of grace before your Thanksgiving meal begins. Amen by Shaboozy and Jelly Roll. I'm Scoot on the air. Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. Glad you're with us. Hey, some of you might be traveling. You might be heading into the city listening to our show. You might be heading out of the city listening to the show. Safe travels, and thank you for having us with you. So Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is urging Americans to dress better when they travel on planes. Now, I like being relaxed. I like being comfortable when I fly. Especially when I go to Portland to visit my family. You know, there are no nonstops. Alaska Airlines is going to begin nonstops between New Orleans and Portland, but it's for a limited time only. It's during a Mardi Gras and Jazz Fest season, so it starts after the first of the year. So, you know, I've got to stop somewhere and then get on another plane and then continue my flight. It's not that easy to get there. So I like to be comfortable, but I do try to dress nice. When I fly. Now, I don't wear a coat and tie, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I remember a time when my parents dressed me and my brother up into coats and ties, and my sister had a dress on, and we dressed up, and people dressed up to fly. Now, I don't think you have to go that far, but maybe if people dressed a little better, maybe it would suggest a little more civility inside this cylinder of this plane, because there's been a lot of turbulence inside the cabin recently when it comes to people traveling. And you know, I don't know why people save their frustration and vent their frustrations when they get on this flight, because that's never going to go well. I mean, you're never going to win that. You're always going to get in trouble. And sometimes the plane has to be diverted and land somewhere else. I can't imagine having to do that on my way to Portland just because some, you know, hothead got PO'd at somebody. So, I mean, do you care about what you wear when you travel? And do you remember a time when you dressed up to travel? And should we follow these suggestions? I mean, there's no law, there's no dress code when it comes to flying. But should people be a little bit more nicely dressed when they travel? The Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. But I have to tell you, I've seen some women in really sexy sweatsuit, not sweats, you know, like a sweatshirt and sweatpants. I've seen some like really sexy sweatshirts and sweatpants. So, you know, I mean, if it's like designer, if it looks really nice, I mean, that's nice. But, you know, I don't like to see people traveling in tank tops. I don't know. It seems low class to me. And I mean, a nice T-shirt, but not a tank top. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages. And if you want to join us with a comment about attire while you're flying, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870.
Here's a text that says, Blake Groupie is so tiny and cute. He could be a team mascot running around, pumping up the crowd. Give him a T-shirt cannon. Except he'd probably miss and kill Ned Flanders' wife.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna expect him to shoot the cannon straight into the crowd? And no, it would be wide right or wide left.
Right. Here's a text that says, I bought a bottle of Obsession at Perfume Headquarters. The best price I had found was $87. I bought it for $39, and I told him Scoot sent me.
Wait a minute. Well, I appreciate you doing that. Wait, so, yeah, it's like Obsession can be expensive. $89, they got it for, what, $30-some dollars?
$39.
Yeah. Well, that's a good deal. See, you know, what I tell you about, like, Perfume Headquarters and Logo Express and what I tell you about all my clients is absolutely true. So thank you for that text.
Here's a text about airplane travel. It says, how you dress and groom is a show of respect for the others around you and the venue you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I want to look nice when I travel. What about you? You look nice when you travel?
Yeah, I don't wear my pajamas or my flip-flops. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We wouldn't dress that way to go to the grocery store or the library or to work. Why do we think it's okay and acceptable to dress that way at the airport?
I know. And look, when you're on a flight that has first class, have you taken a look at some of the people in first class? I mean, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it's like a line at the unemployment office. First class used to be like kind of a bougie, you know, place to be. But now it's like they let anybody in first class.
And I'll leave you with this one about Blake Groupie. Here's a text that says, in light of today's kicker revelations with the Saints, perhaps Scoot might ask Mrs. Benson or Mickey Loomis if they have any good groupie stories to share.
That is funny.
Clever.
That's good. I appreciate that. Yeah, I tend to ask people to share their favorite groupie story with me. All right. You got a comment? Oakenheart Jewelers talk-in text line 504-260-1870. I love when the audience makes me laugh. You know, it's great. This is a great audience. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 2003, Glenn Campbell was arrested in Phoenix. His blood alcohol level was 0.20. His BMW hit a Toyota Camry. He was charged with extreme drunk driving, hit and run, and assaulting an officer. Have you seen the mugshot of Glenn Campbell after he got arrested? You got to take a look at it. It's really scary. Police say that while he was taken into custody, he was humming Rhinestone Cowboy the whole time. I'd increase the charges for that. We'll be right back. Hey, on the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 2011, man, we lost a great blues musician. On this day in 2011, Coco Robichaud, blues musician, died here in New Orleans. He was 64 years old. This was one of his big songs, Burn My Bones. All right, we'll continue the conversation about what to wear when you travel by air. And a lot of you are traveling by air. What do you wear? Do you kind of dress up a little bit, or do you dress like a bum? I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thanksgiving. Well, later today, Canal Street is going to light up. It's the lighting up of the Christmas tree and the lights on Canal Street. The festivities begin at 4:30 this afternoon at Canal and North Peters, and the lights will go up, I guess, shortly after dark, which is not long after 5:30 right now. So I wanted to let you know that that's going to happen. And I tell you, Canal Street really does look nice. Downtown New Orleans looks great this time of year. And the lights will be lit up. People are coming in town for the Bayou Classic between Grambling and Southern this weekend. And it's a Thanksgiving weekend tradition. And the city is going to look really great. Just to make sure that everything is safe, there's added security, and it's a fun time. When I lived downtown, it was fun to be downtown during the Bayou Classic because, you know, there were just so many sights to see. And I want to mention this again. If you don't have to come downtown during the Bayou Classic weekend with your car, don't do it, because there's so many people drive in for the Bayou Classic. There are so many cars downtown, and one of the traditions for the Bayou Classic is to cruise Canal and to cruise Poydras. And when you go from Canal to Poydras, there are all the side streets, and those are jammed up too. So a lot of cruising goes on downtown, and it can be very, very, very hectic. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon, November 25th. It's Thanksgiving week. Some of you might be working. Some of you might be working. Some of you might be taking time off. As I said earlier, some of you might be traveling into the city, listening to the show, traveling out of the city, listening to the show. And thank you for being with us. And oh, let me remind you that, man, this is such a concentrated time for football. So much football to talk about. And today, a special edition of Sports Talk starts at 4 o'clock. Mike Dettelier, Steve Geller, live from the Rouse's Market in Houma. That's on Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houma, Rouse's Market. They'll talk about the Saints and LSU and NFL matchups, and it'd be a good time to tune in and listen or go by and see the guys. It's happening today from 4 to 7 here on WWL. And let's see, what else do we have? So I'm interested in this this suggestion from Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy that Americans do a better job of dressing nicer when they travel by planes. And I do remember a time when I was a kid when we actually dressed up, wore coats and ties. You know, you don't have to do that. But airline travel has become very pedestrian. I mean, you know, first class isn't even as special as it used to be. Would you consider maybe wearing nicer clothes when you travel? And would that maybe add to an atmosphere that is less conducive to aggressive behavior when flying? Because there's way too much tension in the air. Now, fortunately, I've never been on a flight where there was tension. Never. But I read about it all the time, and it happens a lot. And, you know, maybe this mentality of, you know, we're just traveling, you know, we don't care. You know, there's sort of a trashy element to, you know, to dressing for a lot of people when it comes to flying. And I don't know about you, but, you know, when I travel, I like to look nice. And I figure out what I'm going to wear when I travel. And I think that it might be relaxed casual, but I try to look nice when I travel. And I hope you do the same. And as I have said, the thing that bothers me most is to see some, you know, big, burly, hairy guy. Not that there's anything wrong with being big, burly, and hairy, because, you know, you're born that way. You can't help it. But, I mean, you don't need to wear a tank top. And a lot of people, you know, are not going to perfume headquarters, you know. They're not, a lot of guys are not wearing, you know, cologne. And so there's kind of a raw smell there. And anyway, I think if people dressed a little nicer, it would be better. And I know many of you, like me, remember when you really did sort of dress up when you travel. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And according to the experts, this is going to be the busiest travel year in 15 years. So a lot of people are traveling. Yeah, I'm kind of in the mood to just hit the road and go somewhere unpopular for Thanksgiving just to be somewhere. But I'm also kind of in the mood to just stay home. Really sad to hear in the news about this plane that crashed in Lake Pontchartrain. And I was thinking about this this last night when the news was breaking. This is a Cessna 172, which is it's quite often used for a flight training, and you heard that on board was a flight instructor and a student. And my thoughts are that this was a practice of flying at night, landing at night, taking off at night. Flying at night is a little different because you don't have visual landmarks like you do during the day. And new pilots need to get experience flying at night before they do it. The airplane was owned by a flight school in Gulfport, and they're devastated. The question is, what happened? This happened about 4 miles off of the runway over the lake, and this plane was coming in, and they lost contact with the plane, and it just disappeared. And apparently, it's in the lake. I think they found a seat cushion. Now, a Cessna 172 has the wing over the cockpit. You know, it's not a mid-wing aircraft. It's the wing is on top of the fuselage. It's probably not retractable landing gear. The landing gear is down all the time, I would assume. You know, the first thing that came to my mind is that this was a young pilot flying at night, and there were clouds in the area. And sometimes when you're in clouds, you can become disoriented. And if you don't like have an instrument rating, and if you don't know how to fly by the instruments, and if you go by what you feel, then, you know, you might end up spiraling into, into the water. I believe that's what happened to John F. Kennedy Jr. You know, he was a relatively new pilot and in a private plane, and he was flying, and the weather was not good. It was very, very cloudy, and it appears as if he became disoriented in the clouds. And, you know, you're in the clouds, and you don't, you really don't know if you're leaning right or left, or, you know, you might think that you feel that in your body, but you don't always feel that. And so he apparently became disoriented and ended up just going into the ocean. I think he was on a flight from like New York to Martha's Vineyard or something like that. And I wondered if that's what happened, because there were a few low clouds streaming through the area. But when I heard that a flight instructor was on this plane, it was hard to believe that a flight instructor would allow that to happen. A young pilot practicing flying at night suddenly finds themselves in a cloud, and, you know, they lose orientation of where they are. They're not watching the instruments, so they're not trusting the instruments. They're kind of going by what they feel, and that's not the right thing, and they, you know, end up going into the lake. The thing I think that amazed me was that the plane sank so quickly. I mean, it apparently went right down. Now, you know, the lake is not very deep. I mean, I think the deepest point of the lake is, you know, 18 to 20 feet. It's not a very deep lake. So they'll find this plane, and so far they have not found the survivors. They have not found the pilot and the passenger, or the pilot and the student, and they're presumed dead at this point, because they went out right away, and they've been out all day today and just have not found anybody. You know, if they survived the crash into the lake, and there was something like a seat cushion to float on, you know, the water temperature of the lake is such that you could easily survive. So it doesn't look like that's a possibility, but it's just sad. It will be interesting to see what did happen here. But I'm so surprised that this happened with a flight instructor on that plane. All right, we're going to come back with some of your texts. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. All right, it's Thanksgiving week. This is a tradition, so we're going to share segments of this traditional song with you, the Thanksgiving song by Adam Sandler. Now, when I was listening to this earlier, getting it ready for the show today, this is not as good as the Hanukkah song. And it's almost, I think this was Adam Sandler's first song like this. And you really get the feeling that he was just, I mean, what's funny about it is he was just trying to find anything, that even if it doesn't relate, he was trying to find anything he could to rhyme with whatever he's singing about. So anyway, here's part of this Thanksgiving tradition, the Thanksgiving song by Adam Sandler. It's Adam Sandler and the Thanksgiving song. We'll continue to do a few more segments from that. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us Thanksgiving week, and I hope you're starting to have more of a relaxed time, even if you're working. And I mentioned this yesterday. I want to mention it again, and we'll talk about it again tomorrow. A special thanks to those of you who are going to be working over the Black Friday Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Those of you in particular working retail. Those of you working in stores, because especially at the last minute, we've got to go get something. Those of you working in retail where people are going to be going crazy over Black Friday sale items, where sometimes the customer is not always right. Thank you for what you do. And if you're a customer, understand that you're not the center of the universe. And try to be kind to the retail people, because they have a tough job dealing with all kinds of different types. And it can't be easy. So anyway, you know, be cool about that. So the Saints have a new place kicker. New place kicker is Cade York. He was the LSU Tigers place kicker during the 2019 championship year. I think he's been with the Bengals. I think he was the number three kicker with the Bengals. So they tried him out, and we got him now. So the question is, if you're Blake Groupe, I mean, what do you do? You lose your job in the NFL as a place kicker. I mean, what would be a good job for you now that you're not in the NFL? I mean, does another team pick him up? I mean, I hope one of the teams in our division picks him up. And he may go to another team and be successful. Something got in his head, and he lost it. And some of you will remember this. There was a kicker. He was a place kicker and a punter. And he was from the University of Texas, and this was years ago. I guess this was in maybe the late 70s. We got this guy, we drafted this guy who was a place kicker and a punter, two for one. And he was unbelievable in college. When he got with the Saints, he just lost it. Something got in his head, and he couldn't get it out of his head. Russell Erksleben. Russell Erksleben was very inefficient as a kicker. He was great in college. He was terrible with the Saints. And so sometimes that happens. So what does Blake Groupe do? What would be a good job for somebody who was a place kicker in the NFL? You know, we've kind of joked about how, well, he couldn't be a talk show host because too often he would be, far left, far right. You know, sometimes you just have to try to be kind of down the center. I mean, within the goalpost, I mean, you can be a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, but, you know, you don't want to be far right or far left. So, you know, talk show host is out of it. What would be a good job for Blake Groupe? I love the text I got a few minutes ago from someone who said that I should probably get Gail Benson or Mickey Loomis on the air and ask them to tell me their best Groupe story, which was very funny. So anyway, if you want to join us with a comment about that, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. You know, I didn't do it last hour. I said I would. I got distracted. But there's an interesting trend now in retail with younger people, and especially with like kids, like with my grandkids. They buy things. You buy a box, and you really are not sure what's in the box. Now, you might know that it's going to be one thing, but you don't know what color you're going to get. It's a surprise. And I went to NostalgiaCon at the convention center over the weekend, and they had stacks and stacks of mystery boxes. You buy a mystery box for $20, and you don't know what's in it. You buy the box not knowing what's in it, but this seems to be a new trend of being excited about something and you're not really sure what it is. And I don't know about you, but if I buy something, I want to know what I'm getting. If I buy something, I want this color. I don't want to be surprised about the color. But this seems to be something that like younger people like are really into. It's cool to buy a $20 mystery box, not know what's in it. And you buy the box and you open it up and find out what's in it. And it looked like people were taking these home and they weren't going to open them until they got home. And there would be like two guys together and each of them had two mystery boxes. And it was like they were keeping the mystery boxes until they got home and then they were going to open them. I mean, what did they think that, Sofia Vergara was going to pop out of the box or something? I don't know. But anyway, I think it's kind of an interesting trend. And then I bought my granddaughter a Labubu doll at the NostalgiaCon event. And I don't know what color she's getting. I know she's getting a boo-boo doll, but it could be any one of five different colors. And she's not going to know what it is until she opens it up. And I don't know what it is. I couldn't pick out the color because you don't know what's in it until you open it up. So I thought that was kind of interesting. All right, we've got some text to get to. Ian, have you noticed this trend of buying something and you don't really know what's in the box?
Yeah, I almost was tempted to buy a mystery box the other day. I was doing some holiday shopping and I saw you can get a $500 value for only $99 mystery box.
Now, see, that's kind of tempting.
It's tempting.
Because, you know, I mean, $500 value for For what, $90?
For $99.
$99. So $500 value for $100. So, you know, even if you didn't want it, you'd still have something worth $500, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think you can return this stuff, though.
Yeah. What kind of store was it?
It's Pink Cherry. Let's do some texts.
Okay.
Here's a text that says... Let's see what I did there. Is it just me, or have there been an unusually large amount of airplanes crashing this year?
Well, they had that series of crashes that may have dealt with fewer air traffic controllers or confusion with air traffic controllers earlier this year. But I don't think there's been an unusual number of plane crashes. I don't. Maybe the figures at the end of the year will show us something different. But I instinctively don't have that sense.
I mean, I remember in January and February we were very much having that conversation with why are all we having these airlines? There was the plane
right.
that crashed that ran into the Black Hawk in Washington. There was the plane at O'Hare that flipped upside down, or was it Toronto?
And then recently there was FedEx plane?
The UPS plane, yeah.
UPS plane, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a bad year for aviation. Here's a text from Mark the Historian who says, flying VFR at night over water can be disorienting. Moon illumination was 14%, so it was dark. Yeah, I checked. Wow. The plane took off from Gulfport 40 minutes after sunset. I've driven over the causeway at night when there's almost no moon. It's dark out there. I can't imagine flying like that.
You know, that's true, but at that point in the approach to the runway, and I'm assuming that this plane is on final, coming in 4 miles off, it's on final coming into the runway, landing from the north toward the south, I guess based on the wind direction. And, you know, yeah, the sky's dark and the water's dark. But, at that point, they've still got to be a couple of hundred feet in the air. I mean, it's not like they're hovering over the water. And by the way, that person knows about flying because VHR are just basically visual flight rules. You're under VHR conditions. You're under visual flight rule conditions. And then the other alternative is instrument flight conditions where the weather is so bad that you're flying by your instruments. But legally, you have to have an instrument rating to fly. You have to have an instrument rating on your license to fly under instrument flight conditions.
Last one. Here's a text that says, no chance you catch me in the airport without a clean collared shirt, proper pants, and real shoes. You never know who you'll run into. I'm cleaned and groomed before I leave the house.
Probably gay. Clean, neat, clean. Of course you're gay. That was Seinfeld brought that up. You know, of course people thought Jerry was gay. He was neat. He was clean. He was single. He's got to be gay. Anyway, I like that. And I do see a lot of people who obviously care about how they dress when they fly. They obviously care. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about this because Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is urging Americans to dress better when they travel on planes, and that dressing better might add to a better atmosphere that is less conducive to inviting aggressive behavior when flying. And there was a time when people dressed up to fly, but no longer. And I mean, some people, it's like, wait a minute, did you lay this out on the bed knowing that you were flying today? Did you lay this out on the bed and this is what you're going to wear to fly? Again, some people just, you know, they look like bums. They look like people off the street. And maybe it's that kind of atmosphere that contributes to people being more aggressive. But I do think about, look, sometimes I'm relaxed when I fly, but it's, in my opinion, it's relaxed casual. And if I'm wearing a sweatshirt of some kind, believe me, it's a damn expensive sweatshirt. And I've seen, as I said earlier, I've seen women in sweatpants and a sweatshirt that's like designer that looks really, really nice. So you can have a relaxed style that is bougie, relaxed style that is kind of dressy and be cool. But, you know, the thing that's the worst is when, you know, somebody's wearing a, you know, like a tank top. All right, you got a comment. The Okunhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1992, it was her first film role. Whitney Houston proved that she was not only a great singer, but she was an actress. She was this singer who needed the protection of Kevin Costner in The Bodyguard. And she sang this song, I Will Always Love You, originally done by Dolly Parton. It became a number one hit 3 days after the movie was released. That's how powerful this song was in the movie. And Whitney Houston falls in love with her bodyguard, Kevin Costner, and then he starts guarding her body. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWE.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On this date in 1984, Bono and George Michael and David Bowie and Paul McCartney and a bunch of other people got together to record the vocals for Do They Know It's Christmas? And it became a great favorite. This was the first of the big all-star charity singles, raised $14 million for famine relief in Africa, but all the money didn't go to the right places. All right, I want you to listen to this one part in particular. It's sung by Bono. All right, it's coming up here. I can't believe they actually sang this. I point this out every year. Here we go. What are you... So, Bono is singing, "Thank God it's them instead of you." Like what, you're thanking God that they're starving and you're not? I mean, I get it. I mean, it's a vicarious way of saying you're thankful, but I don't think that's the right way to say it. And I'm sure if Bono had to do it over again, he would maybe change those lyrics a little bit. Yes. Kids, remember, say your prayers tonight and make sure that you thank God that there are people in Africa starving and you're not. Thank God it's not you. All right, let's go to Marie and Harvey. Marie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello, Marie.
Hi. I was calling about the travel issue. When
okay.
I'm traveling, before I leave, I'm an early packer, a week before. I normally choose for comfort and for reliability, because you don't know if you're going to be late or delayed in things. I want something comfortable.
Right.
Normally, I wear a two-piece jogging suit that's not tight-fitting.
Okay.
Comfortable with pockets. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I wear tennis shoes clean with socks.
Now, does the two-piece suit, does the jogging suit, I mean, does it look nice?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's a jacket, and underneath the jacket, I normally, because I always have a chill, I always have some type of T-shirt.
That's cool.
And it's not a tight fitting, so I'm not uncomfortable where I'm showing all everything, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's
now,
okay. That's okay.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. My brother once dated a young lady whose mother was a stewardess, and she had the friends and family tickets, and a lot of times she would give it to other people. And one of the things she would say is, when you're going, dress nicely. Because the ticket taker or the clerk that check you in, if first class is not quite full and you were on standby or whatever, she would look to see how you would dress. And if you were presentable, she would give you upgrade.
Wow. Yeah. I once got upgraded to first class just because of the way I was dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, come on. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had gone to Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
This young lady got on there with a pair of flip-flops, and she had on some Daisy Dukes. And I said, I didn't want to sit next to her.
Yeah.
Because her coochie was going to be stuck.
On that,
I got to go.
I do understand your concern there, Marie, yeah. And you know sometimes you can show a little too much, but I'm glad that you're nicely dressed, and I would think that the woman who was a flight attendant and she was giving her tickets to other people, that she would want to be well represented by having the people she gives the tickets to dress properly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're dressed. It's okay to be relaxed and comfortable. You can still be stylish, and you can still dress nicely.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Marie, happy Thanksgiving, okay?
And same to you and your family.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening. Yeah, you know, look, I don't oppose Daisy Dukes. I have to admit that. But, you know, flip-flops and Daisy Dukes... Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes you have to just, you know, draw the line. I mean, everybody doesn't need to get on the plane and look like Cardi B. You know what I mean? And not that everybody does, but, you know, there's a way to be comfortable. There's a way to dress nicely. But, you know, some people, you know, want to attract attention, and they attract attention on the plane. And they attract attention by the way they dress. But, you know, there are far too many people who just don't dress properly, and it kind of trashy. And I just the tank top is just not something you should fly in. In fact, I would like for there to be a dress code to where certain things like tank tops, you know, were not allowed. All right. You got a comment. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, on the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 2010, a restaurant became the victim of a prank. Representing Bob Dylan's crew that was in town to do a concert in Massachusetts, Amherst, Massachusetts, representing Bob Dylan, somebody ordered 178 pizzas, claiming they were for Bob Dylan and his crew. The person who was pretending to represent Dylan was wearing a fake pass for the Dylan concert and went to Antonio's restaurant in Amherst, Massachusetts, and ordered 178 pizzas worth $3,900. That night, nobody showed up to get the pizzas. And the staff had gotten there at 5 a.m. to make all those pizzas. And nobody showed up to pick up the order. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week. Look, I was talking yesterday about why the Saints don't have the tush push. All right, there's the tush push. Last night on Monday Night Football, I heard one of the guys refer to the push as the Purdy push. I have a name for that play with Tyler Shuck. I'm going to share that with you coming up in the next hour. Plus, a lot more still to come on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever you will. All right, it's a Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, and everything's getting a little relaxed at this point, and a lot of people are taking the whole week off, and even if you're working, you're not taking things too seriously, thinking about this great time of year. Let's see, is Courtney P. still with us from the traffic center? Courtney, are you still with us? Courtney, she may be continuing her list for Black Friday. Eno's aunt is still in the newsroom. Ian, you talked a moment ago about we got great clouds out there. What makes a great cloud?
A gray cloud.
Oh, a gray. I thought you said great. We got great clouds out there.
No, gray. I don't think there is a great cloud. If there is something known as a great cloud, I'd love to know what it is.
Yeah, I did a video the last time, not long ago, when I was coming back from Portland. I did a video of the plane descending through the clouds, and that's just such a cool feeling. And you know, the pilots, they're going by instruments because they can't see anything once they're in those clouds. But that's kind of a cool experience to go through the clouds, because when you're a kid, you know, you think it's like puffy cotton up there, but it's not.
That my grandmother, the first time she flew, she wasn't 60 yet. She was in her mid-50s. And she said she was disappointed because it was just water. She was hoping for it to be something else, that she could see something, but it was just water.
Oh, you know, it's interesting how many people that age just did not fly until much later in life.
Yeah, and the only reason she flew is because she was going to her sister's funeral in California. And that, to this day, is take that back. She flew up for my college graduation, so she flew twice in her life.
Wow.
And both of them were about 20 years apart.
My grandmother never flew. And
really?
They lived in Phoenix, and so they took the train. They took the Sunset Limited from Phoenix to New Orleans.
That's the one part about living in the Northeast that I enjoyed, was having a train as public transit.
Oh, yeah.
Went on Amtrak once. And at some point in the next year or so, I want to take another Amtrak trip, either to Chicago or back up towards New York.
Yeah, I love, when I lived in Seattle and Portland, it was great to take Amtrak between Seattle and Portland.
Yeah.
And just such a beautiful, beautiful trip. And then when I lived in San Diego, I would take Amtrak to L.A. And I mean, there's one part where you're just right on the Pacific, and it's really awesome. There's some great train trips. And even though the scenery between, say, New Orleans and Memphis is not that great. If there's any place you want to go between New Orleans and Memphis on the train, you know, take the Amtrak and just enjoy the scenery, because I love the train. It's so much fun.
It is. It may take you longer to get there, but once you get into some of the scenic parts of the U.S., there's nothing better.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I can only imagine what it would be like to take a trip from, say, L.A. to Chicago.
Ooh.
Because you'd go through the Rockies, and there's a train that goes L.A. to Chicago.
Chicago, right.
Yeah, you'd see a lot. You'd see desert. You would see mountains. And then you see, of course, Chicago.
Can we get somebody on our sales staff to sponsor that trip for us?
Yeah, let's do that. Well, out of New Orleans, you know, Chicago, there's the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, the Sunset Limited still runs from, I want to say it runs from here to Los Angeles still. They haven't connected it to Jacksonville yet, but the New Orleans to Los Angeles leg is back up and running.
And then I still have to try that trip over to Mobile. Ian Hoke took that trip. I think it was the first time they ran. You took that the trip to
Mardi
Mobile.
Gras and, service, yeah.
The Mardi Gras service. Yeah,
it was excellent.
Yeah. Well, what stands out in your mind about that trip?
How much you get to see the countryside that's not just like, you know, a Peerless tire company and a Wendy's and a billboard and a parking lot. Like, you actually get to see the country and not just what's right along the
interstate. Here's what I remember about taking the train when I was a teenager between New Orleans and Gulfport, because we had friends in Gulfport. I remember the bridges. And when you're in the train and you look down, you can't see the tracks. You're just over water. Yeah. And you just look down and you see the water.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah.
Not comfortable.
So, like, you went across, like, Bay St. Well, no, you didn't go across Bay St. Louis. But on the way to Bay St. Louis, when you go across the Rivoles.
You go across Bay St. Louis.
You went across Bay St. Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because you're I'm thinking Bay St. No, you went to Mobile.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going across the Rigolets and then going across Bay St. Louis and then Biloxi Bay.
Yep.
Would have been another opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to take that trip. And
you
I don't
really
care
do.
If it takes a little longer. You know, the train is so relaxing. They don't tell you to sit down and buckle your seat belts. You don't have to return the tray table to its upright position. You know, there's no locking of luggage ahead of you because the train just kind of creeps out of the station and, you know, nobody's jolted by the acceleration of the train.
Right. Then before you know it, I'm not sure how fast the Mardi Gras Express goes, but if you're on the fastest of the Amtrak trains like the Acelas, you're going from zero to about 100 miles an hour in no time. You don't feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. It does get up there. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, one of the reasons that sometimes trains get delayed is the freight trains have the right of way.
Yeah.
So the passenger trains have to stop on the track and let the freight train, you know, there could be certain areas where they share the track and, you know, only one can go. And the freight trains, because they make more money, they have the right of way.
Yeah, that's the only hang up with taking passenger. But even then, that's a small sacrifice just for the experience.
Yeah. And they've got the club car and they serve booze, you know, not that everybody has to drink to have fun, but it's one way to
But if you need something to loosen you up, that's an option.
Yeah, relax a little bit, you know? All right. All right, thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Scoot.
And we'll talk to you again. You'll be with us again tomorrow?
Yes, sir. We'll be here tomorrow.
All right, cool. All right, we've got some... Oh, I know. Before we get to any text messages, I was watching Channel 4 at noon before coming on the show today, and Meg Ferris had a really great story on the Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience. Meg Ferris from WWL Louisiana joins us on our show. Meg, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Okay, first of all,
yeah.
My mother, who knew your mother,
yes.
Can you believe she allowed me to take my first plane flight when I was 12 to go see Three Dog Night in Monroe? It was...
Wow!
But I went to go visit a camp friend. But when I was 5, our whole family took a trip up to the New York World's Fair on the train. And, okay, you just brought back some memories.
Well, you know, even at 5, you know you remember stuff. But, you know, back in those days, you know, you're 12 years old, you're on a plane. It wasn't as sketchy as it is today.
Correct.
Yeah.
But my mother had the stewardess called back then. It
yes.
wasn't the flight attendant.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on me at every second until I was in the hands of my camp friend's mother. So.
Wow. And I'm sure you remember when Southwest Airlines started, the stewardesses back then, I mean,
mm-hmm.
they looked like characters out of Austin Powers with like the go-go boots and the hot pants. And I mean, they looked like go-go dancers.
Oh, behave, Scoot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, they were making everybody randy. So, Meg, tell me about this Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience. It's going to be quite a deal here in New Orleans.
So, Scoot, I learned something. This New Orleanian learned something new yesterday from the CEO, the chairman of the board, who is getting this all together. So I didn't know that the first choice for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was here in New Orleans, but it didn't have political and state and government support.
I didn't know that until I heard your story today, and I was shocked. But then I thought, how typical is that of New
mm-hmm.
Orleans to blow an opportunity to have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here, but because of political BS, it didn't happen.
And Scoot, really, music, Cleveland? Do you really think of Cleveland
no.
when you think of, okay. So
no.
then the Grammy Museum, I didn't know, went to L.A., and it was supposed to be here for the same reason. But now there is state and city support. Money has been pledged. Money has been donated for this music experience. And it all started when Chris Berry, who is the chairman of the board, it was during the COVID lockdown, and he was with the crew of Tux, and they were putting on these live shows from the Den for people who were locked in at home. And it was with all our musicians and the rich history we have here. And so he decided we need this interactive, not a typical museum where you go and there's a picture on the wall and there's a plaque and it says this is that, but something where people from around the world on the internet or in person can interact with holograms of deceased musicians and producers who, you know, he said, do you understand that New Orleans, we are just the cradle of so many genres of music from, you know, from the singing in the fields back during, you know, enslavement, all the way to gospel and the blues and jazz and rhythm and blues and rock and roll, which went to rap, hip hop, bounce. And he wants to take that whole experience to people and show the difference that we made right here, Congo Square, you know, started with some of that. So his plan here, here's where the controversy comes in. So they want to be right there outside of Hall G at the convention center, where the there's going to be a hotel down the street that's being built. And then the new Shell building is being built kind of by Mardi Gras World. OK,
right. There's a lot of open a lot of open land there. And then there's that old factory that sits there.
Correct, correct. That and that's what's being planned by the River District, all that being developed. But there's some snags going on there, and so they don't want to be too delayed. They want to open this the beginning of 2029, but have a contract for land signed by next month. So just in case the convention center and the River District development, which is a bigger development, can't get everything worked out for their part, they are looking at two other spots. And one is kind of where you come off the interstate by the municipal auditorium, because mm-hmm. that's near Congo Square. Mm-hmm. And the other one is down on South Rampart, a few blocks off of Poydras, where Satchmo and all these big time jazz players played. And so they've got three sites that they're looking at. But this they expect $6 billion impact over 30 years with the people who will come to have this music experience. And, you know, we really are special. I mean, you know, Elvis and John Lennon and all those people said Fats Domino was the king of rock and the real king of rock and roll.
Yeah,
you know,
and in those days, there were black artists that just didn't get the credit they deserved. And you know, we know how many covers of R&B songs the Beatles and the Stones did.
Oh, well, the Stones said how much they were influenced, yes, by R&B from the Mississippi Delta and from the New Orleans area. So, you know, sometimes, Scoot, you know this because we've both lived here our whole lives. You forget how we really are unique, and we really have offered done things that have contributed to the world, and it's about time that we shine a spotlight on that. And this is what this experience wants to do. He not only wants to show the past, what we've done, but his big thing is take that money and support the people, our musicians, who don't make much, who, you know, to get into Tipitina still costs the same as it did, you know, 20, 30 years ago. He wants to use that money for our culture bearers to continue New Orleans being the cradle of music like this. So it's a whole different idea than a regular museum.
It's awesome, and it's called the Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience.
Correct.
But it's going to be more than just New Orleans and Louisiana music.
It's going to be this area, this you know, Louisiana, this area, and our contributions to it. 120 square feet at a cost of $165 million. And like I said, the state and city have already pledged money, and they're moving forward. And they want people now to get involved, to sign up to be involved in this on their website.
Meg, would it be possible to utilize the old municipal auditorium if they choose that spot?
Well, it's not at the municipal auditorium. It's across the street, Scoot. When you come off that ramp, and if the municipal auditorium is on your left, the place, the other, the third place they're looking at would be on your right in that parking lot, right there by that visitor tourism.
And that's where they have a lot of mobile homes and people with those RVs parked there.
Yes.
Okay.
But you know what, Scoot? You've planted a seed. Maybe we have to... you're right. What's going to happen with the auditorium?
Yeah, because if they put something that nice there, then they're not going to want that albatross to be, you know, sitting mm-hmm. there. And you think that they could use that? Because, I mean, the structure is sound. I mean, look at the hurricanes that that thing survived. Mm-hmm.
20 years, shoot, it's yeah. been sitting there.
Wow. But Meg, this is exciting, and I heard your story today, and I just wanted to spend a few minutes with you on the air to talk about that, because it's really great. But look, we were talking about something earlier, and I want to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is urging Americans to dress better when they travel. When your mom sent you to Monroe on the plane, did she dress you up?
Okay, Scoot, okay. You know, I remember what I wore on that plane, my very first plane trip when I was 12 years old. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
It was a patchwork suede, groovy, cool 1960s
wow.
skirt.
Awesome.
With the brown peasant shirt with the drawstring at the top. Oh, wait,
oh
but
God.
Wait. My hair was flipped up with one of those leather hair holders that was in the shape of a peace sign. Okay,
oh,
Scoot,
awesome.
I was so groovy.
Oh, my God. You were groovy. You were like a little hippie. That is so cool. But, you know, you wanted to make a statement about yourself when you got on that plane.
Well, you know, I had older brothers, and I thought that was cool, so I wanted yeah. to look older than I was, and yeah. I was really just a little girl, but anyway.
That's really cool. It's great that you have that memory. All right, Meg Ferris from WWL Louisiana, thanks for being with us, and we'll keep updated on this story about the Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience.
Will do.
All right, Meg, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And let's hear another piece of Thanksgiving history.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Elvis's spending was out of control, and he had limited income. On this day in 1975, Elvis had to take out a loan for $350,000 at the National Bank of Commerce in Memphis. He had to put up Graceland as collateral. Elvis had purchased a Convair 880 jet from Delta Airlines, a racquetball building at Graceland, a house for his girlfriend, a horse, and 14 Cadillacs all in one day. Elvis was out of control. Had to take out a $350,000 loan on this day in 1975. Well, and, you know, sadly, we know the rest of that story. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us, and very happy Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week here, and so we're a little bit more relaxed. Do we have any texts to get to, Ian? You want to take a minute to?
Yeah, let me get some stuff sorted out here. No, I got one right here.
Okay, all right.
Here's a text that says, "I don't know how to say this without sounding like a a-hole."
Well, that never stopped anybody before.
But here goes. Flying used to be unique to a certain class of individuals. This is no longer the case. Anyone from any socioeconomic background can fly now. It's also a lot less comfortable to fly as the airlines try to cram as many of us in as possible. This opens up the reality that ignorant people with low emotional intelligence end up in an enclosed metal tube with strangers. An insignificant gesture that most of us would dismiss can be turned on its head by some individuals.
Yeah, that is true, and it's a legitimate point. It's unfortunate because it doesn't cost anything to act classy. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to be rich to act classy. In fact, there are a lot of rich people who don't act classy. I get it, but I wish, even those people who are not in the same class as other people. I mean, they dress up sometimes when they go to church or when they go to, say, theater or when you do something. And it just seems like maybe there should be a little bit more thought given to what you decide to wear on a plane. So I agree with Transportation Secretary Duffy when he says that Americans should dress a little better when they travel by air.
Here's another. It says, regarding dressing down on a plane, after the shoe bomber, the airlines mandated that you take off your shoes, your belts, and everything. So people started wearing flip-flops and slippers. And I think that was the start of the decline in dressing on the plane.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know whether it seems like it started before that, but maybe it didn't. Thank God we don't have to take our shoes off anymore.
Yeah, I don't miss that. Switching gears here a little bit, we got some texts about Mr. Blake Groupie. James and Harvey says, does Blake have a graduate degree from Notre Dame and a decent 1-year salary from the NFL contract and enough talent to represent an NFL team? I don't think he has a very bad start.
No, I'm sure he made a good salary. I mean, he should have made a hell of a salary, even if there wasn't a top salary in the NFL. He had a starting place kicker in the NFL. You know, I don't know, what are you making, $1 million or something like that? I mean, he's got some money. I'm not really that worried about it. We were just kind of having fun with, what job would he do after this? And, you know, I mentioned this earlier. I thought about if the Saints had just won 3 of the close games that they almost won, we might be in the playoff hunt right now. Just 3 of those games that we almost won, if we would have won those games, even in a rebuilding year, right now we would be in the playoff hunt. Because the Bucs are now 6-5. The Panthers are 6-6. The Falcons are 4-7. If the Saints won just 3 of those games that they were close to winning, the Saints would be 5-6. We would be in third place. And, I mean, the leading team, the Bucs, are only 6-5. So even in a rebuilding year, this is how close we are to having maybe made it to the playoffs at least. We would have at least be considered at this point. So, you know, things did not have to be as rough as they have been. And I hope we see more progress in these final games, because I don't think things had to be this ugly and this rough even in a rebuilding year.
I'll leave you with this one. We've been talking about trains a little bit this hour and who's got the nicest trains and train routes and all that. Rusty is listening, says, what about the high-speed rail in California they spent $30 billion on and have been working on since 2006? They've only got 70 miles of track down. More waste. It's supposed to be complete in 2045, and it's only going to cost another $20 billion to complete, which will end up probably costing double or triple that amount just to finish it, because once again, it's the government.
It is the government, and shame on our American government, because the Chinese can do it and the Japanese can do it and we should be able to do it, but we can't. And this is typical of our government.
I don't disagree at all, but I won't also miss an opportunity to dunk on Elon Musk, who very publicly and explicitly undermined that project from the beginning. He said, no, we don't need to do that. We don't need to spend all that money because I'm going to build my Hyperloop and you guys don't have to worry about that. So some of that money ended up not getting allocated and the political support for that project eroded very quickly. And then he didn't do the thing he said he was going to do. So
yeah,
Elon Musk sucks. Exhibit number 1 million.
Yeah, well, that's a shame. I'm glad you brought that up. And you can dunk on Elon Musk on this show. There's no apology necessary for that. All right. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week. I'll try one more time. Or just one more time. Okay. We can do retakes on the show. It's Thanksgiving week. Well, that's okay. I mean, well, I tried. I wish they would do a commercial when that guy falls off the ladder. All right. Anyway, yeah, it's Thanksgiving time, and you know, we try to find some, you know, bad stuff. Hey, I thought about something. This is kind of philosophical, but I thought about this yesterday after seeing an ad on TV. Is a shirt designed to be untucked ever really untucked? I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Ian, I was listening to a sports show. I forget which channel it was on. It's a morning show. It's a morning sports show with two guys, and it's called Two Pros and a Cup. I hope they're talking about a cup of coffee.
Oh, Jesus!
I mean, it's got to be coffee, right? It's got to be Two Pros and a Cup. Anyway, I know not everybody gets it, but if you get it, you get it. Hey, if you're an LSU fan, I'm sure you're waiting for the word to come down. Who's going to be the new coach of the LSU Tigers? It seems like it's going to be Lane Kiffin, but, you know, we don't know for sure. When we know, you will know immediately. We will bring you the breaking news when it happens, on the air, online, and on social. And also check in with Sports Talk every afternoon at 4 o'clock for up-to-the-minute reports from LSU insiders and expert analysis. And this is brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. Also, you'll hear the latest about LSU right here on WWL. There's a cafe in Dubai, and they are promoting the most expensive cup of coffee in the world. It is made with ultra-rare beans sourced from Panama. The drink is described as having a delicate floral and fruity note, reminiscent more of tea than of traditional coffee. And the beans sourced from Panama are limited. Each cup of coffee made with these beans costs $980. So suddenly that coffee that you are spending a lot on, that you think is a lot, suddenly it doesn't seem like so much, does it? All right, so tomorrow is the day before Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about Thanksgiving and whether or not Thanksgiving is like truly a bipartisan holiday. You know, not everybody's included in Christmas. Not everybody's included in Easter. Not everybody's included in, you know, in different holidays. But I think Thanksgiving certainly should be a bipartisan holiday. You know, it shouldn't matter what party you belong to or if you belong to a party. And I hope it's not going to be as intense this year as it has been in past years for many of you. But I know that politics comes up a lot. And, you know, you've always got somebody in your family who, it's not that they want to have a conversation. No, they want to tell you what to believe. They want to tell you why they're right. And, you know, you get a couple of drinks in that uncle or that aunt, and, you know, they want to just spew their political beliefs on everybody. And in some cases, it might even ruin the reason that we're getting together. Also, we'll talk a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving. And when I have done research on this, I've discovered that there really are not many actual records of the first Thanksgiving. And so the historical notes about the first Thanksgiving are kind of concocted from different sources about different aspects of Thanksgiving. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about how the new settlers, the people who came to this country, I mean, they just made this voyage across the Atlantic Ocean. And, you know, I mean, that was no Carnival cruise ship. You know, that was rough going. I mean, people died on that trip. And they got here looking for, you know, a new place to live because they didn't like that they were, you know, persecuted religiously. So they came here to find a new land, a new place to live. They had no intention of going back. And when you realize the things that they brought with them on the ship, they had every intention of building a life here and staying here. So we'll talk a little bit about that first Thanksgiving and why it certainly should be a bipartisan holiday. And I hope it is for you. And I hope there's not some, you know, some uncle or somebody in the family that, you know, gets a little tipsy and, you know, starts going off on the politics and, yeah, you know, because it's not about talking about politics. It's about what you should believe. And, you know, there's a good way to get out of that conversation. Just walk away. You know, I mean, even if it's an uncle, if somebody gets too deeply into politics or gets too aggressive in talking about politics, I don't care if they're a relative. Walk away. You don't have to sit there and talk to them, and you don't have to put up with that. All right, we talked about how on this day in 1984, Bono and Paul McCartney and David Bowie and a bunch of people got together, and they laid down the vocals for this song, which was the first of the all-star celebrity singles to raise awareness and to raise money. This is the day they lay down the vocals for Do They Know It's Christmas. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back to wrap up the show on WWL. Yeah, and I hope you have a nice family affair planned for Thanksgiving. But if you don't, you know, that's cool, too. We'll talk more about all of that tomorrow. Hey, this afternoon, don't forget to check in with a special edition of Sports Talk. It's Mike Dettillier and Steve Gettle live from the Rouse's Market. This is in Houma, Rouse's Market, Martin Luther King Boulevard. They'll be there at 4 o'clock, well, from 4 to 7 o'clock, so check in with those guys. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Ian Ozan, and Traffic with Courtney P., and I thank you for being a part of the show. Join me on Substack. Download the app and find Scoot on the air, and subscribe. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon, and tomorrow will be the day before Thanksgiving. So we'll talk about the history of Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about Thanksgiving, a bipartisan holiday. Or is it? Have a great afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.